Well, it's Thursday. Florida Panther fans, welcome to another edition of Locked On Panthers, your Florida Panthers podcast that gets you Florida Panthers coverage every single day. Well, you know, I say happy Thursday. I don't know if it's a happy Thursday for you or not. As we record the show, I don't think this is any secret. I don't think anyone was under a false impression that we don't get up at 5 a.m. to record this podcast. So as we record the show, the Panthers are still locked in a battle with the Anaheim Ducks. But the first period is over. And man, what a goal by Alexander Barkov. Hey, my name is Josh. I'm with PantherParkway.com. And with me, as always, is my good friend and yours, Frank Rikus.
Morning, everybody. Frank Rikus, owner, lead writer for PantherParkway.com. I'm happy. You know why I'm happy, Josh?
I don't know. Why are you happy, Frank?
Because tonight I have a happy hour to go to at 5 o'clock.
Wow. Okay. Well, if you're happy and you know it. So, Frank, like I said, I don't think anyone's under any kind of delusions of what's happening with this podcast. We don't get up at 5 a.m. to post a new show. And so we are recording, and we were trying to figure out how to handle the Pacific road trips, and went ahead and decided that we were going to try to record this during the intermission after the first period of the Anaheim game. And that's probably what we're going to do with the LA game too, and maybe even the Arizona game next week. So because of that, we don't know what happened. So if the Panthers won, yay. And if they didn't, boo. So we don't know what happened with that. But that doesn't mean we don't know what's happening. We have a lot of things to talk about in this podcast, and we're excited to listen to some voicemails. Man, you guys delivered. We got a lot of voicemails for this episode, so we'll talk about what you guys want to talk about. It is Talk Back Thursday. And we also have to talk about something that happened in Florida Panther land recently. How does Gary Bettman like to say it? You know, we have a trade to announce. Mm-hmm. So, Frank, why don't you break down this this trade that happened today? Is it a big trade? Is it a big blue liner that's going to solve all the Panthers' problems? Is it a high scoring forward? Did Mike Hoffman finally get moved, or Evgeny Dadonov because of their UFA status? Like, tell us, Frank, what happened?
Such a major move. I mean, I honestly was thrilled that they actually pulled this off. And I think the guy that we got has a really bright future. He's big. Could be the power forward that we're looking for or not.
The next Eric Lindros, I hear.
Dennis Malgin was sent to the Toronto Maple Leafs for, I can't even think of the guy's first, Mason Marchment. Right? Is it Mason?
I think so, yeah.
Mason Marchment, son of former NHL defenseman and former Blackhawk, and I think Calgary Flame, Brian Marchment, who was a bit of a tough customer as a defenseman. But Mason will report directly to Springfield, and Malgin will report, from what I saw, to Toronto. And a lot of people up in arms about this. I've seen people say, oh, my goodness, bad asset management. How come we only could get, you know, a minor leaguer? Look, there's a bunch of Dennis Malgins all over the place. And he had his opportunities, and don't think that he didn't. He got many chances to play on the top line, the second line. So he barely could stay on his feet most of the time. I don't think he had, what, 2 goals this year, maybe, if that. I don't really remember. But it was time to move on, and good luck to him somewhere else if that's, you know, what happens. But it wasn't working, especially when you've had 2 defensemen that have been beating you out for a forward position. That ought to tell everybody something. And whether it's a question of Q didn't like him, or he didn't like what he saw, or a combination of all of it, he's moved on, and you know what? Let's move on, and let's not belabor the point.
Yeah, I think fan reaction's been a little bit out of proportion. A guy who was scratched for a ton of games this season couldn't make it in. He definitely had some flashes of skill. You could see it, particularly at the beginning of the season. I mean, I think he got a chance at one point to center maybe the second line for a minute. So, he was playing well in some scenarios, but he wasn't the guy that was gonna give his all every night for the Panthers. Not that they have a ton of those guys right now, but he wasn't that guy, and he didn't have enough of a skill set to really make a high impact. And what you don't want to do is waive him and then have someone claim him for nothing alongside Jace Halichuk. So, I understand what the Panthers are doing here. They're trying to move cap space. They're trying to prepare for potentially a bigger move here before the deadline. So I understand all that. Malgin wasn't going to be a Panther long term. Now, I will say this, Frank, and you kind of alluded to it. I think there is a case to be made against the prospect management in the sense that the Panthers, after first round picks, have really not produced a lot of guys who have made it to the NHL. I mean, if you think about it, guys who are on the Panthers now that are really good, of course, it's not hard to strike gold when you have a top three pick, Alexander Barkov, Jonathan Huberdeau, Aaron Ekblad. It's a lot harder, in those second, third, fourth rounds, and not a lot of guys in the last decade have come from those rounds. Vincent Trocheck, probably the notable exception there. But really, beyond that, I mean, there's not been a lot of guys coming up that have really set the hockey world on fire by any stretch of the imagination. So I understand that the frustration of saying, why are we holding on to all of our picks all the time and talking about the future when every pick that's not a top 10 pick has not really amounted to much. So I get what they're saying from that point of view, but at the same time, this is a real small move. The other aspect of it, though, and I want to pick your brain on this just real quickly, Frank, because we do have a lot of voicemails to get to today. But interesting to me that Toronto is the one who wants to take a flyer out on Dennis Malgin. First of all, of course, from the Panthers' point of view, interesting that you trade him to the team that you're trying to compete with for a playoff spot. But on the other hand, interesting that Dennis Malgin goes to the Maple Leafs because I've felt for some time, and I think we've talked about this a little bit, that it seems like the Maple Leafs and the Panthers have been linked inexplicably with the style of play that they're playing. Like they both have real high-end forwards, guys who can score, guys who can shoot the puck like no one else, mediocre defensemen, mediocre borderline bad defensemen. And then, like, pretty good goaltending, though Toronto's has been better as of late. They're very similar teams. So it's interesting to me that Toronto would value Dennis Malgin enough to make the move. I don't know if Marchment was something that Dale Talon really likes, or if he's a player that he wanted, or if it's Toronto just trying to having to move a player because of roster limits. I'm not sure. But what the idea is there, but it's just interesting that Toronto is the one who wants Dennis Malgin because I feel like what Kyle Dubas has been doing since he took over that team has been very parallel to what the Panthers at least were trying to do, like during the Tom Rowe era and things like that. That computer boys era of hockey. So interesting that they would be the ones that saw some value in Dennis Malgin and wanted to make a trade.
Yeah, it's weird that he got sent to a team that we're chasing, like you mentioned. And to be honest with you, that's probably more alarming than, hey, we gave up on Dennis Malgin. But you're right. Toronto and the Panthers are built very similarly. No problem scoring goals for the most part. Not very good on defense and good goaltending. I'm not really sure where Malgin's going to fit in, if he's going to fit in at center or if he's going to fit in on the wing. I mean, they have a bunch of centers, and I know some of them actually play on the wing, like Zach Hyman, who is listed as a center but plays on the wing. Tavares has played both wing and center. William Nylander plays on the wing and at center. So they've got a lot of guys that can do different things. Just not sure where he fits in and how he fits in to this team. It'll be interesting to see if he gets, top 6 minutes, even as just a peak, to see if he can, hang with those guys. But neither here nor there. He's out of our hair, and let's just move on, right?
Well, yeah, the projected lineups I saw have him as a fourth line winger, which honestly, if you're going to play him there, I don't know that you're going to get a whole lot more out of him
No,
than
you're
the
not.
Panthers did. So,
No. Definitely not.
Well, it's one of our favorite days here at Locked On Panthers because it is Talk Back Thursday. We have a real special edition of the Talk Back Thursday this week because we have asked you guys to call in and tell us, if you were the Florida Panthers general manager, what's the one thing that you would do at the trade deadline here this week? We've talked about it before. This is some of the most important days here in potentially Florida Panthers franchise history, as Dale Tallon decides what to do with the roster and what to do here at the deadline. So we put the call out. We said, hey, you know, call in. And we got quite a few voicemails. Now, I'll say this, Frank. Not everybody followed the instructions. you know, some people called.
Multiple trades.
Yeah, multiple trades or multiple thoughts. But, you know, it's cool. We'll still listen to what they have to say and respond to it. So we're going to jump right in here because we've got quite a bit to get to. So, hey, this is the first voicemail. Let's see what this caller has to say.
Hi, this is Jill in Weston. Just wanted to sound off about a couple of things that happened with the Panthers. First of all, sorry to see Jace go. I feel like Jace gave 100% every night. He brought fire and energy to the team. And so I'm really sad to see him go. Yandle, on the other hand, I am tired of watching him play lazy. I'm tired of the turnovers. Yandle has to realize he's going to get hit. It's hockey. Forget the Iron Man streak. So I'm tired of watching him turn over that puck and play lazy. So I think they need to do something with him. Barkey. I love Barkey, but he's not captain material. He's too soft and too mild-mannered. I think we got to take the C off of Barkey and maybe try Choate. He's got a lot of fire and a lot of energy for the team. And maybe give him the lead captain spot for a little bit. But Barkey right now is a little bit too soft, and he's, you know, he's not really that kind of guy. So those are my thoughts. Thanks.
All right. Well, thanks, Jill from Weston. And yeah, some pretty controversial thoughts there, Frank.
Well, we got a lot going on there. I mean, I'm not sure what we want to tackle first.
Well, let's start with what she said about Keith Yandle. So, you know, she mentions Yandle has been playing soft, and man, that first period giveaway in the Anaheim game. I'm sure you have. Just go ahead, Frank. I know you got some thoughts on that.
That play was absolutely atrocious. I mean, how do you possibly think to do that? You just pick up I guess it was a rebound. It was came off of who's he paired with tonight? Strawman?
Yeah.
I don't even remember. And he just dumps it between his legs, and boom, it's in the back of the net. I mean, come on. And actually, I didn't notice it, but someone on social media noticed it, that they believe it was actually a hand pass to towards Yandle. And if Yandle doesn't touch it, play's dead. Anyway.
Yeah, so definitely some softness there. Yep. So Jill brings that up. I think that's something we all have kind of thought and mentioned and talked about. At least once. The second thought there, though, is the one that maybe is a little more controversial. So Jill's assertion here is that Barkov has been soft as a leader, and perhaps the C should be taken off his sweater and put on Vincent Trocheck's. Now, Jill, I got to be honest with you, there's going to be a couple callers here in a minute that are going to tell you that Vincent Trocheck shouldn't even be a Panther. So I think they'd probably disagree with you as far as the C part goes. But interesting thought. Now, I've thought about this a little bit, too, and I think we've talked about it, Frank, maybe off air. There is a question, I think, in Alexander Barkov's leadership, because you don't see him get fired up the way that perhaps you'd like to see him get fired up. But we never know how it's really going in the locker room, number one. And number two, some captains don't lead that way. Some captains lead by example. And man, what a goal from Barkov in that first period in Anaheim. He definitely leads by example on the ice. But I do like the idea of changing up the voices in the room. I don't necessarily believe that the C's and the A's make as much of a difference as maybe fans would like to think they do. But I do think it's important, to get maybe some new voices, some new blood, some championship experience in the room, because the leadership there, outside of, Brett Connolly, I think, is the only cup ring on the team right now.
Yeah,
outside of him, there's not a whole lot of experience.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about is Barkov really captain material? And like you said, he does lead on the ice, but I think what a lot of people are really looking for is a little bit more vocal from him, with the officials on the bench, and that's just not Alexander Barkov. And I think when the Panthers named him captain, they named him captain because of his on-ice leadership, and they felt that at the time there was enough other voices in the room.
All right, let's get to our next voicemail here, Frank.
Hey guys, long time listener, probably third time caller here. My name's Tom Jones. Lived in Ottawa, Ontario. Now I'm in Charleston, South Carolina. Anyways, grew up a season seat holder, all that jazz. But I really think what the Panthers need to do is they need to move Trocheck. I think that we can sell high on him, and a lot of teams. I think a lot of teams will look at him with more value than us fans, and I think even management seeing him. I understand that he has a big leadership role, and I think he is kind of the engine of the team, as some players have said. But I think we can sell him pretty high. I mean, like a gritty defenseman. I mean, I would trade Trocheck and a second for Zadorov, or any defenseman kind of like Zadorov, someone with some grit and attitude, and can be a responsible blue liner. I'd love to see what you guys think, and go Panthers.
All right, well, go Panthers. Thanks for your call, man, and we're glad that you continue to call in and talk cats with us. Well, what do you think, Frank? I mean, whew, there's a lot there.
Yeah, a lot there too. Trocheck has been the trade talk over the last week or so. And, the issue is that everybody thinks that we can trade Trocheck and get a defenseman. All right, that's great. We probably can if it's the right situation. But I think what we end up doing to ourselves is we have a huge void now on second line center. And I know that Trocheck has not produced a lot. He's got 8 goals. He really hasn't been himself since he broke his ankle. We're not going to rehash that whole thing, but who is going to be the second line center if the only thing you're going to get back is a much needed defenseman? So you've kind of filled one hole, but now you've opened up another one. And which hole is bigger, so to speak? Which void is.
I know. Dennis
What, what? Oh boy, he's gone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. So, you fix one problem and you create another. And I get what he's saying. Trocheck could bring some value back, but unless you package him with another player and we're able to get a defenseman and a center, it's a risky move.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's a risky move as well. I like the idea of having a Zadorov or a great
Yeah.
shutdown defenseman, physical. That's definitely what the Panthers need. I think you're on the right track there. But as far as you're kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul, so to speak, if you do that. So, all
Exactly.
right, let's hear what our next caller has to say. This is a short one.
Hi, my name is Brooks, and I think the Panthers should move Hoffman for a non-UFA defenseman. Well, they need help on the back end, and trading a forward for another forward is just not going to help them if they do manage to get into the playoffs. Thanks, and love the show.
All right, well, thank you. That was short and concise and to the point. I like that. No, I agree. I mean, I think the thing is with the Panthers, they do have to be looking beyond UFA defensemen, and that's where I think maybe some of the trademongers out in social media have maybe missed the boat, because I don't think if the Panthers make a trade, especially if it involves Vincent Trocheck or even Mike Matheson, to be honest, I don't think it's going to be a trade for a guy whose contract expires at the end of this season. You're definitely
Oh God,
not,
no.
no, you're definitely not moving Vincent Trocheck for a guy who's going to be able to walk on July 1st. So,
Yeah.
it makes a lot of sense to be looking for a non-UFA defenseman. And yeah, the thing with Mike Hoffman still remains to be seen. There's been that chatter that perhaps he wants to stay a Panther. Maybe he does. If he does, then it's time to put your contract where your mouth is. and sign with the Panthers. If you really want to do that, maybe that's something we see happen this week. Wouldn't that be a twist, a long-term extension for Hoffman in the next few days? Maybe that's coming. I don't know. But, yeah, the Panthers definitely need to make a move. So appreciate the call. Let's see. Okay, we got another one here. Let's see what this caller has to say.
What's up, guys? I was thinking when it came to a move, everyone wants Trocheck traded. Personally, as much as I hate to admit it, I'm a little too attached to Vincent Trocheck. He's just been so part of this team for a very, very long time. I can't really see him anywhere else. But I guess if I was the GM in this situation, I would try to trade him along with maybe Pesek, a second or third rounder, and try to go out and get Jonas Brodin from Minnesota to fill that defensive problem. But, I mean, other than that, I don't really see too many other real moves we can make because everything's already done because Dale Talon likes to sit on his hands and do nothing. But, yeah, that's pretty much my episode.
All right, well, thanks for the call. And, you know, maybe we should start saying, hey, you guys got to throw your names out there when you make
these calls. Yeah, really, we like to acknowledge who these callers are.
Exactly, let us give you credit. Us.
Come on.
But man, great voicemail. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that, again, it goes back to the rumor that's been floating around about Trocheck and possibly being a fit in Minnesota. I saw some people even tonight on social media talking about, well, what if you traded Trocheck and Hoffman and a first-round pick and Pesek to Minnesota? And Minnesota gave you back Matt Dumba and Jonas Brodin, and then you let Minnesota, you know, trade Hoffman somewhere else. And it's like, okay, I mean, I get what you're saying, but trade deadlines are not typically where you restructure your whole roster, right?
I mean, if that trade goes through, Josh, you and I are going to have to put on skates because there's going to be nobody left to play forward.
Right? Yeah, so kind of a crazy idea. I think the caller was great, though, when he talked about, you know, it's hard to imagine Trocheck in another jersey. I get that. I mean, he has been a big part of this team. But unfortunately, this team that he's been a big part of for so long has sucked. So there comes a point where it's like you got to change something.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, begs the question that we've been asking. And, you know, is the core good enough to get it done? And they have not been good enough to get it done. So sometimes you got to take a little piece of that core to make an improvement. Like we've said many times, there is going to be an unpopular trade.
Well, I have a feeling this next caller also is thinking about Jonas Brodin. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey guys, it's Tom McLean, and I'm calling in about your what would I do if I were the GM. I think I would try to bundle up a trade with Vincent Trocheck for Jonas Brodin from the Wild. I think it would work out. They're both around $4 million, and we get a good plus or minus type defenseman, and they get a kind of a push ahead forward. So I hope that you spark some controversy over it. Thanks.
Spark some controversy, I don't know, but yeah, that's not very controversial because that seems to be what everyone's thinking tonight, Tom, but yep. Appreciate the call. I mean, again, yeah, the money, Tom makes a good point there, though. The money would kind of wash between right. Trocheck and Brodin. Interesting thought too, as we're talking about the Minnesota Wild. You know, they just made a trade with Jason Zucker to Pittsburgh, and there was talk about how Alex Galchenyuk, who went back to Minnesota to make the money work, was not really a player that Minnesota was feeling very strongly about. It just was a necessity to make the cap work. Right. I wonder if you could pull off a deal where you do get Jonas Brodin and Trocheck goes to Minnesota, but maybe Alex Galchenyuk comes back as a low risk option at that second center position. Mm. So just a
that
thought.
That doesn't excite me very much to make that deal.
Well, it doesn't excite me. I mean, at least you got a guy who can, you know, has shown some potential and perhaps could play that role there.
Yeah, I guess. I just think you're still creating an issue where, you know, you're going to have a void at your second line center position. That's all. That's just my idle thought. I mean, Galchenyuk has been pretty much a disappointment so far. So I could see where Minnesota wasn't really thrilled about taking him on.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to have someone, because if you don't,
yeah,
then
right.
then who do you got? It's like Noel Chari and, you know, maybe Brian Boyle. I mean, you're kind of starting to
maybe Pissett can play center. I mean, what the hell? He's been doing a decent job at forward, at wing, so.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine?
No, I can't.
Mark Pissick, the next.
Be careful! Don't put too heavy of a load on him there.
That's funny. Well, hey, we're gonna get to our last caller here, and this one I listened to a little bit ahead of time, and it's a longer voicemail, but I think there's some really interesting stuff there. So let's hear what he has to say.
Hey guys, my name is Zach. I'm a longtime fan of the podcast. Just want to let you guys know you're doing a great job. Keep up the good work. But I have some interesting insights into the trade deadline and what Florida could be looking at. If you do a three-way trade between Toronto, Florida, and Minnesota, that checks out. We have enough cap room to do that, specifically with releasing Dennis Malgin. And or trading Dennis Malgin and kind of picking up more cap room. If you send Hoffman to Toronto and pick up Jake Muzzin, and you send Trocheck to Minnesota for Jonas Brodin, that frees up a lot of cap space on all ends. Except for Toronto, their change is kind of about like I think $1.9 million, but they had plenty of cap room to play with anyway. I think that would be a really good. Two really good pickups. I know Jake Muzzin is a pretty solid player, and I know that Juice Broden's pretty young, have a lot of strength behind them. And I think that would probably be the best way to go, especially if we're happy with Dadnov and want to keep him around. And if supposedly Hoffman wants to stay, but if he is ready to go somewhere else, it might be time for a change. Thanks again, guys. Have a good one.
Wow. So you're talking about a major overhaul there with three-way trades. I love it. I mean, I like the idea of Jake Muzzin and Jonas Brodin both being on the Panthers. But yeah. Man, that's a lot of that's a lot of moving parts. Yeah, that's a lot of stuff going on. But I like, you know, you got to be creative in this situation. Yep. So, I mean, I get it from that standpoint. You definitely have to be creative with what you're doing. So, yeah, could happen. Who knows? By the way, while that voicemail was playing there, Frank. I looked up Alex Galchenyuk's numbers just to kind of justify what I was saying. So he's not terrible. He had 41 points 2 years ago with Arizona, 19 goals, 22 assists, and so just short of 20 goals. And he had a 30 goal season with Montreal.
Right.
He's not a young spring chicken. I mean, his rookie year was 2012. So, you know, he's 26. He's not, you know, a prospect. Third overall pick. With Pittsburgh this season, he had 17 points, 5 goals, 12 assists. I mean, that's not a whole lot less than Vincent Trocheck. I mean, Trocheck this season has what? 9 goals and like 20-something assists, and that's playing with a much different team than Galchenyuk was with Pittsburgh. So, yeah, I mean, you know, just justify what I was saying. You know, Galchenyuk could be an option.
He could. I would be... Personally, I'd be very disappointed if that's what came back, but that's just me. Plus, he's, you know, he's another smaller type player, and I don't think that's a Quenneville type player.
Yeah, well, maybe. Well, I guess we'll it still remains to be seen. We got a few days left here before the trade deadline. Well, that sums up all of our voicemails. Thank you to everybody who called in. And I think they all kind of agree with what one of our favorite callers ever said about the Panthers.
The defense sucks.
So, you know, we know that they're on board with that. And so hopefully the Panthers can see that as well, and they'll begin to make the moves that need to get made. So, yeah.
And for all of you wishing that Trocheck gets traded, he just scored his 10th goal of the season to give Florida the lead 2-1. As we are recording this podcast.
Isn't it so cool to record from the past and tell you what's happening in real time? All right, so how about that? Trocheck gets one, so now, you know, now forget it. If he just scored a goal, then he's not, you know, he's not anywhere near as good as Galchenyuk. Yeah, all right, right. So, hey, thank you for everyone who called, though. We really do appreciate it. What a fun time to get together. We will be back tomorrow for our Friday show. Don't miss it. I'm sure that'll be kind of our final thoughts on the trade deadline before we go into the weekend, which is probably when trades will be made. And so good luck to Panther fans hoping for something. I know we all are. And, you know, stay tuned to Locked On Panthers. Make sure that you subscribe wherever podcasts are sold. iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play. You can subscribe at any one of those things. Just make sure that you subscribe. And, hey, leave us a review. We'd love to get a review from you on iTunes, Google, Stitcher, all those different platforms. If you do leave a review, just make sure it's a good review. And we appreciate that. Let us know you left a review. Send us a screenshot of it, and maybe we'll reward you for your compliments. So make sure you do that. Also, follow along on Twitter at Panther Parkway. Lots of fun stuff there. Make sure you check out the blog as well, pantherparkway.com. You can follow Frank at Frank Rikas, and you can follow me at Josh_LOPanthers. All right, for this edition of Locked On Panthers, I'm Josh.
I'm Frank.
Thank you for listening.